Crossing the cracked asphalt of what once had been the parking lot for the motel, Ryan found the way into the building blocked by a mangy dog lying in front of the door, its pale tongue lolling from the heat. Nudging gently with a combat boot, Ryan got the dog to move and walked into the building. As the one-eyed man pushed aside the door, the rusty hinges creaked and the cracked glass wobbled loosely in the frame. Waiting a moment for his vision to adjust to the darkness, he then stepped out of the afternoon sun into the lobby of the pre-dark motel. It was somewhat cooler, although the air reeked of sour sweat and rancid cooking grease. Across the lobby, a stack of sandbags formed a sort of front desk, flat stones on top serving as a counter. Sitting behind that was a fat man wearing a moth-eaten cowboy hat and no shirt, picking his teeth with a thumbnail. Hanging on the nearby wall was a baseball bat spiked with nails in the manner of a medieval flail. Obviously a peacemaker to deter any troublesome guests. In the middle of the lobby was a fancy stone fountain, the rocks bone dry and the drain clogged with dust. A Dutch door marked office was set alongside a row of the empty phone booths, and broken frames on the walls held only tatters of colored posters that once would have boasted about local attractions. Two sets of concrete stairs led to the second floor, where dirty laundry was hanging over the iron lace railing. From somewhere deeper in the motel came the sound of soft snoring, along with the wet smack of flesh on flesh. But it was impossible to tell if it was folks having sex or a fist fight. In the corner, a dog looked up from gnawing on a bone, only long enough to growl at the companions. Prying a bit of food from between his stained teeth, the fat man behind the sandbags inspected the morsel and popped it back into his mouth to chew and swallow. His splotchy face was marred with acne scarring, and his fingernails were shockingly long, with unidentifiable filth embedded underneath.
"We're not eating anything served here, even if it comes in a sealed can."
"I want to boil the air."
Scowling darkly, Ryan started for the desk. If this was where guests of the Baron stayed, he wondered what the jail looked like.
"You in charge here?"
"Yep, you must be the outies I heard about. I'm Sparrow, and welcome to my place."
"Sparrow?"
"That's me." "Shoot, seven of you at once. Never had the place so full. And I see you got your own slots. Mind if I ride one when you're done?" "Might try the redhead myself. House rules, you know." "Sparrow rides free, you know."
In cold fury, Ryan started for his blaster, but Christie stepped in close to shove the snub-nosed S&W Model 640 under his chin and force his head back until he was looking at the ceiling.
"Want to try that again?"
Christie ground the muzzle into his flesh.
"And get it right this time, Phoebe."
"Welcome to Rock Point, madam. Hey, I didn't mean nothing, just talking.
Then do it with your stinking mouth shut."
Christie removed the blaster and tucked it away.
"Say anything like that again, and the dogs will be chewing your bones."
He tried to force a grin.
"Yes, ma'am. Sorry."
"How did you know we were coming?"
Ryan's hand was still on the grip of the Sig Sauer. The urge to kill was taking a long time to leave. He knew that his nerves were on edge from the lack of sleep, and it was becoming difficult to think clearly.
"Sekman sent a runner, told me to get some rooms ready. I chased out the lizards and put in a clean night soil bucket. You gotta empty that yourself, you know. I run this place, ain't got no slaves. Ain't allowed. Not enough water to spare."
"Hurrah for the Baron."
On the wall was a honeycomb of letter slots, each with a hook for a key, but none was in sight.
"Where are the keys?"
"Don't need any. None of the locks on the first floor work. We had to bust them down to get in, and I never saw any reason for fixing them."
"And what room were you told to prepare for us?"
"The big one on the first floor, way in the back, near the garbage dump."
Sparrow rubbed a hand across his soft belly.
"Now, if you want something better on the second floor, we got that. Door got a lock. The window overlooks the barn, so you can watch your stuff. Curtains. Nice and cool during the day. Best we got. Of course, that costs more."
JB grunted at the news, and Ryan narrowed his eyes. So that was it, eh?
"How much for the clean room?"
Sparrow smiled with greed.
half your water ration. We got a deal?
No.
Ryan turned away and headed for the door.
We'll stay in the barn.
But you can't do that. The Baron said you gotta stay here.
And we shall be sure to tell him about your hospitality. Perhaps he would be interested in how you obtain extra water from travelers. I wonder if that falls into the category of stealing water.
Sparrow suddenly went pale.
Hey now, no need for that. Man's got a right to earn a little water now and then. Help me, Jed!
There was a creak as the office door started to swing open, pushed by the barrel of a long blaster. Moving fast, Ryan fired twice into the wood, slamming it closed.
Ow! God damn!
Don't move!
Mildred pointed her .38 revolver at Sparrow. The desk clerk froze motionless, his hand only inches from the club. Christy and Doc went back to watch the front door and the balcony for the arrival of reinforcements. With a low growl, the mutt started to rise, and Jack pointed his Colt Python at the animal and cocked back the hammer on the blaster.
Call off.
Sit, boy.
Obediently, the dog stopped making noise, then turned around a few times before settling down with his bone once more. Swinging around the Uzi, JB kicked open the office door, and Ryan charged through, his blaster leading the way. Sitting on the dirty floor was another fat man, holding his bloody arm. Next to him was a homemade blaster composed of a small diameter bathroom pipe wrapped in layers of iron wire and bound to a wooden dowel. A cartridge was inserted into the crude barrel of the zip gun, two more rolling loosely on the linoleum.
Kick it away!
The man complied, the homemade gun skittering under a metal desk.
Now move, fat ass!
Slowly, the corpulent fellow rose to shuffle into the lobby and join Sparrow at the sandbags. This close together, it was clear the two men were brothers, maybe even twins. Or else the gene pool of the Ville was dangerously small.
Damn! You folks are good. Haven't seen anybody move that fast. Not even Hawk.
Except for that bitch, Kate.
Jed tried to staunch the flow of blood from his arm.
Damn, I think my arm is broken.
Tough shit. Who's Kate? The Baron's wife?
No, some slut who works for the traitor.
Who? Do you mean Traitor Kate?
There were a lot of traitors in the Deathlands, and they all used the word as a title, the way the Barons did. Only the legendary traitor was known by the single word.
No, just Kate. She's the sect chief for traitor.
Now Ryan's interest was piqued. Trying to control his words, his blaster began to feel big in his hands, as uncontrollable as a thrashing snake.
How do you know about the traitor?
I bought a pre-dark med from him that saved my leg after a mutie bit me. Didn't charge me anything when he coulda.
How long ago was this?
Sparrow started to lower his hands, but at a gesture from Mildred, he quickly raised them again.
I don't know.
He scowled as if struggling with a dim memory.
Maybe 5 months? Long time ago.
Months? You gotta mean years. 5 years, right?
The fat man shrugged.
Whatever you say, you got the blaster. But I ain't no Phoebe. It was less than half a year ago. He and the Baron had a big fight about something, and the traitor ain't been back since. Used to stop by fairly regularly. Bought a lot of water.
What's he to y'all, Ken?
Ryan felt his heart pound in his chest. It was impossible.
Describe him.
The brothers exchanged glances.
The traitor? Hell, I don't know. Never saw the guy. He was always inside a big-ass tank. Stayed behind a blister of the military glass.
How many wags? Describe them.
Sparrow scrunched his face.
There were three. One big wag and two others, each plated with metal, covered with blasters. Big stuff. Cannons, mortars, and rockets. Baron Gaza was scared to death of the guy. Hell, I mean, who wouldn't be with all of his weapons?
Tell me more.
Fumbling for a reply, Jed scratched his head.
I heard Kate call the big wag War Wag One. That help any?
The universe seemed to go still at those simple words, as if it were breaking apart and rejoining in a new pattern, reorganizing itself on the most basic of levels.
He's alive. Traitor is alive. and back in business.